Thank you, Percy. It's nice to have young people up here leading. What a blessing it is. So we are glad you're here today, Percy, as he smiles sheepishly. What is a miracle? So often we pray for miracles. We pray for healing when the doctors say that there is no hope. And we pray for the miracle of peace when we look around at our world after another mass shooting this week. We pray for the miracle of peace. And we pray for financial miracles, you know, when we're not sure that we're going to have enough money to make it to the end of the month or cover our rent. We pray that God might give us the miracle of a financial windfall, or at least enough to just get by. We all pray for miracles. But very few of us either have seen a miracle or are willing to acknowledge the miracles that occur in our midst. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus performs these miracles, miracle after miracle, and we are left wondering, why then and why not now? Why are there not miracles today? Throughout the last few weeks, we've been looking at the miracles of Jesus, and we've been lifting up the miracles that are occurring in our midst. They may not be what we thought they were, but God is still performing miracles in our midst. Today, our passage comes from Luke's gospel, and it highlights a miracle that happens, but Jesus emphasizes in this miracle that the miracle isn't Jesus. The miracle is the friends. That is, the faith of his friends. Therein is where the miracle lies. We tend to think it is our own faith that leads us into a deeper relationship with God, but today's passage tells us that it was the faith of his friends that healed him. Not what he had done. It was the faith of his friends that healed him. I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. And since it is the good news of our Lord, I invite you to rise in body or in spirit for its reading. Hear now God's word. One day, while he was teaching, Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting nearby, and they had come from every village in Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. Just then, some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a bed, and they were trying to bring him in and lay him before Jesus, but finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and they let him down with his bed through the tiles into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said, Friend, your sins are forgiven you. Then the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, who is this who is speaking blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And when Jesus perceived their questionings, he answered them, why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, stand up and walk? But so that you may know that I am the Son of God, that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the one who was paralyzed, I say to you, stand up and take your bed and go to your home. And immediately he stood up before them and took what he had been lying on and went to his home, glorifying God. Amazement seized all of them, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, we have seen strange things today. The good news of our Lord. You may be seated. (Clears There are so many stories in the Gospels, stories of men and women with no name. They have no name. The hemorrhagic woman, the man who was born blind from birth, the sinner woman, and then today's lead character, the paralytic man. These characters, they appear on the scene, and we seldom hear their backstory. We don't know their past. We're not given the details. And so we're left with a bunch of questions. Who is the paralytic man? I want to know more about him. Was he paralyzed, or was he from birth, or was he injured and then left paralyzed? And what about his friends? How long had they been friends? Did he know them really well? Did he live with them? Who told them about Jesus? And what possessed them to go to such great lengths to heal their friend? We don't have answers to these questions. We don't even hear his name. He is called the paralytic man, the paralyzed man. And I just want to hear more details of the story. But maybe we aren't meant to know everything. Maybe those details, if we knew all of them, they keep us from the main point. And the main point is that here is a man in need of healing. And that's all we need to know. Here is a man that is in need of healing. His circumstances have kept him from getting the help that he needs. And so his only choice is to lean on others. That's all he can do, is lean on others. All of us, brothers and sisters, all of us will come to a time where we have to lean on others. And most of us hate this. Would you agree? We do not like to lean on other people. I see it in the eyes of people every time I go to a hospital bed. Every time they need something, when you're in the hospital, every time you need something, you have to push a button and wait. Right? You have to wait. Do you know how hard it is to sit and wait when you just need a drink of water? But this is what happens when you're in the hospital. I see how hard it is to lean on people when you're in the hospital. Or our members that have been injured and aren't able to drive. I know that's happened recently. Leaving them at the mercy of family and friends who to get them from place to place. Needing people is often painful. We don't want to have to need people. We don't want to be a burden. We don't want to have to be forced to adjust to other people's schedules. And the worst part is that we are not in control. And we want to be in control. It is a burden to have to lean on others. We all want to be in control. We all want to have power in our lives. And the only power that the paralytic man had, the only power that he had, was the power of his friends. That's all he had. He had the power of his friends and the faith of their friendship and their faith in God. That's all he had. Friends that would go the extra mile. Friends that would cross boundaries and even tear down the roof so that he might find healing. That is the power that the paralytic man had. Friendship. Kevin Chandler is a Florida native. Have any of you seen anything about Kevin? Kevin's on the back of his friend there. Kevin is a Florida native. He's a writer, and he loves adventure. He also happens to suffer from spinal muscular atrophy, which means that it's robbed him of his ability to walk on his own, but it has not robbed him of his desire for adventure. So in the summer of 2017, Kevin set out to backpack around Europe. But Kevin himself was the one that was riding in the backpack. Kevin's friends, Tom, Philip, and Benjamin took turns carrying their 65-pound friend in a converted backpack that featured a headrest and padding and a saddle. And his friends, they documented their journey together. Kevin wanted his story to be an example and inspiration for those like him in the world. And Kevin reminds us, these are his words. He says, we are all broken in some way or other. All of us are broken in some way or other. And so we all need our burdens to be held up and carried by each other. And the only way that that's going to happen is if we help each other out. And that requires sacrifice of self. We all need one another to have our burdens lifted up. We all need stretcher bearers. We all need brothers and sisters that will carry us when life gets too hard. Several weeks ago, I had the chance to meet with my new small group. We're going to be doing small groups in the church, but I have my own clergy small group. And it is a group of women clergy from our conference. This is an older picture. Some of them are in the new group. And all of the women in the group are my good friends. They're people that I can call on for prayer and support. They're friends that listen when my heart is breaking. They are friends that help me laugh and not take myself too seriously. These women are my stretcher bearers. They have seen me at my worst, and they still love me deeply. I know that I can call on them at any hour of the night, and they will be there to pray with me and cry with me. I need my stretcher bearer sisters. So who are your stretcher bearers? If you read my newsletter this week, I asked the same question. Who are your stretcher bearers? Who are the people that stand behind you even when you are really hard to be around? You have those people? They take the good and they take the bad, and they still stand beside you. This is a really important question because we need stretcher bearers, especially when it comes to our journeys of faith. We need people that we can lean on. We need friends, and I'm not talking about cyberspace friends. Facebook friends are great. I'm glad I have Facebook friends. Facebook friends are great, but they will never be able to offer you the comfort you feel from sitting next to a friend who really listens, who offers you a great big hug just because. We are a society that is more connected than ever and yet lonelier than any time in history. We crave connection, but we continue to be more and more isolated. One of the ways that we can develop deeper relationships is being a part of a small group. And so I'm so glad that the Man Cave started last Saturday. And not only did they meet together, but they were given accountability partners, a brother that would be there for them in the model of Jonathan and David. Friendship is so important in our faith journey. And in January of 2019, this coming year, we are going to be developing more and more opportunities for you to be involved in a small group. It is my prayer that these places, these small groups, will be a place to develop deeper faith connections, that we might be stretcher bearers for one another. And I'm asking you to pray about if you've never been a part of a small group, and there's different small groups, they don't all look the same. I'd call the choir a small group. You pray for one another. You check in on one another. There's different kinds of small groups. But if you've never been a part, I want to encourage you. This is really important for your journey of faith. So pray about how you might get connected in this next year. And especially around the question, am I willing to set aside time to be in a small group? Because it does require sacrifice, which is what Kevin talked about. We need to sacrifice. So Jesus gave us the model of a small group. He didn't do it on himself. He didn't just come out and say, here I am, the Son of God, and I'm going to take this journey by myself. You can follow me if you want, but it's me and me alone. No, Jesus brought together a group of disciples, a group of friends, a small community that shared with him, that listened to him, that encouraged him, that challenged him, that sometimes didn't listen so well either. But they were important to the journey that Jesus took. Just as the paralytic man had his small group of four faithful friends, so Jesus was surrounded with his own stretcher bearers. And while this may not have always been, they may not have always been faithful, ultimately they stayed by his side and they became witnesses of his love. Brothers and sisters, we are called to be in connection. We are called to be in connection. We are called to share in community, to lift one another, and at times to accept that others need to lift us up as well. Who was the paralytic man? That was the question I asked at the beginning. Who is this paralytic man? And maybe the paralytic man is us or someone we know, paralyzed by the world around us. Living in fear of the terror that could happen at any moment, scarred by events that seem to keep happening in our world around us, wondering, should I even exit? Should I even leave my house? Am I safe? Perhaps we are the paralytic man. And like the paralytic man, maybe we are unable to trust that there will ever come any healing in our lives, that we will ever have the chance for healing. But I want you to imagine that you're the paralytic man laying on his bed, wondering if anything will ever change. And you see what happened, brothers and sisters, is that there came a knock at his door and four friends swept in. Four friends swept in, friends that had walked alongside him, friends that were unwilling to leave him there in that place, and they lifted him by their words, by their presence, by their love. This is a miracle. I know we want to wait till we see him standing, but for this man to know that he was no longer alone, this is a miracle. And Jesus lifts this up. Jesus says, it is the faith of these friends that have healed you. It is the faith of these friends that have healed you. For anyone that has ever felt depressed or anxious or lost or alone, to have four friends sweep in and care for you, brothers and sisters, that is a miracle. This is the gift of having stretcher bearers, faith communities, this church. We are called to be a place where stretcher bearers, where we can be stretcher bearers for one another, and where we know that when we are walking through something, we have brothers and sisters that will lift us up as well. This is what we are called to be as a faith community. And it is my continued prayer that this faith family will become a community. They already are. But more and more, that we might be a community of stretcher bearers for one another. As we seek to reach out to those in our world who feel so isolated and alone, that they might come in and find a community of support and love. This, brothers and sisters, is a miracle. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come to you today acknowledging that so often we are looking for a miracle in our lives, Lord. We are looking for some way out of the place where we are standing. And we pray to you over and over for it to just happen. And we forget to look around. We forget to look around at those who, with each new day, are offering us support and love. So, Lord, I thank you for our stretcher bearers. I thank you for the sisters and the brothers that walk with us, even when we are difficult to walk with, that come in our isolation and remind us that we are not alone. Lord, we give you thanks for them. Help us in the midst of this to lean on one another as well. For we know how hard it is to have to lean on others. But Lord, you give us in the sacrifice that you gave on the cross, you remind us that even when we are weakest, you do not leave us alone. And so I thank you. I thank you for your continued sacrifice and love in all of our lives. Help us, Lord, to follow the path of Jesus, that we might truly be a support and love and care, that miracles might continue to happen in our midst. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.